This afternoon, I may preach to you God's Word as we have summarized it in Lord's Day 45, which is the section that begins the explanation of the Lord's Prayer. Lord's Day 45, on page 559 of the Book of Praise. There we have the following questions and answers. Why is prayer necessary for Christians? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness which God requires of us. Moreover, God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts and thank Him for them. What belongs to a prayer which pleases God and is heard by Him? First, we must from the heart call upon the one true God only, who has revealed Himself in His Word for all that He has commanded us to pray. Second, we must thoroughly know our need and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. Third, we must rest on this firm foundation that although we do not deserve it, God will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as He has promised in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? All the things we need for body and soul, as included in the prayer which Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is the Lord's Prayer? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thus far. After the sermon, let us sing together hymn 65, the stanzas 1 and 4. Hymn 65, 1 and 4 after the sermon. Brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ, the last section of the Heidelberg Catechism focuses on the need for prayer and on the role of prayer in the life of Christians. Prayer is even called the most important part of our thankfulness to God. And I'm sure that prayer is familiar to everyone who was born and raised in a Christian family, where mom and dad taught you to pray. It began with simple prayers at mealtime and bedtime. Another question for each and every one of us is this: where has it gone there? Has it gone from there in your life? Do you still pray? Is prayer life a reflection of our thankfulness? And is our thankfulness reflected in our prayers? For why do we pray? And why should we pray, my brothers and sisters? Well, these two elements are related. And the reason why we pray is addressed in question and answer 118. And the question why we should pray is touched upon in question and answer 116. And that also leaves the matter of what we should pray for, and that is covered in question and answer 117. And so this afternoon we are going to listen to what we confess about our need for prayer. And so we go focus on these three things: why we pray, why we should pray, and what we need to pray for. So our need for prayer, and the first point is why we pray. Now the answer to the question, why do we pray, is fairly simple. We usually pray because we want something from God. In question and answer 118, we confess that God commands us to ask of Him all the things we need for body and soul. And that is one of the reasons why prayer is important for Christians. Prayer is so important that the Apostle Paul urges Christians to pray constantly. But with what sort of expectations should we do that? Now, sometimes we hear people speak about the power of prayer. And prayer is indeed a powerful means given us by our God through which we may appear before his throne of grace. But we should be careful with speaking about the power of prayer, because there is a danger to apply the word power in the wrong way. When we speak of power, we think of something that is strong and forceful. Someone who has power has the ability to command and influence others. And to have power implies, therefore, that we can impose our will on others and make demands in order to accomplish and attain a certain goal. And also in connection with prayer, it is possible to think about the power of prayer in a special way in which to get through to God. At times we hear it said, "The more people pray for me, the better." And it may have more impact on God, you see. But if that is the underlying thought about the power of prayer, then we need to take exception to the expression. And it is therefore important that we begin by defining what prayer is. How would you define prayer? Now, my Webster's Dictionary explains that prayer is derived from a Latin word which means something obtained by begging or to entreat. And so with that as background, you get definitions in the dictionary such as prayer is an earnest request, or it is a humble entreaty addressed to God. Prayer is something prayed for or requested as in a petition. And similarly, prayer takes on the meaning of to implore, to beseech, to entreat, or to bring about, to get something by praying. And now from these definitions, it is clear that the overwhelming ideas associated with prayer is that of asking for something with the aim of getting what we want. And you see, that notion fits well with the idea that the more people pray for me, the better. God will hear the voices of many. But here we run in the very real danger that when the sole motivation for prayer is to ask for something, and the more people ask for it on my behalf, the better, then when God does not grant what is asked for, we become disillusioned, and the reaction is, well, God doesn't hear. He doesn't listen. And besides, there's the other danger, that is this. The idea that we pray in order to get something brings with it the notion that prayer is necessary only in time of need. And we see that all the time. You see, prayer in time of trouble is done by all people, by people calling upon a deity. And even people who normally have no place for God in their lives often pray when they are in need. And then, strangely enough, they pray often. It is usually an act of desperation, a last resort in the hope that God will hear and grant the request. Who knows, maybe God will give us a hearing. But as it stands, prayer is an act of thankfulness that is totally unnatural. And yet, the Bible teaches that prayer involves more than asking God for something. You see, God, calling upon God in need is only one aspect of prayer. What is missing in those dictionary definitions that I gave you is that biblical prayer also involves thankfulness. Thankfulness in which we praise and glorify God's holy name. And that's why I read those two Psalms with you from the book of Psalms. For the book of Psalms contains many prayers of praise and thanksgiving for what God has done. I refer you back to Psalm 105. We pretty well find there all those elements mentioned together. Give thanks to the Lord, call on his name, make known among the nations what he has done. Sing to him, sing praises to him, tell of all his wonderful acts, glory in his holy name. Let the hearts of those who seek the Lord rejoice. Look to the Lord and his strength. Seek his face always. From that psalm, you have clear evidence that prayer is not just a matter of folding your hands when the need arises, or that it is restricted to petitioning God for something. Oh, in Psalm 105, we not only read about calling upon the Lord, but also about giving thanks, about praising him, about glorifying his holy name and seeking his face always. And that last part about seeking his face always shows that when Paul writes to the church to pray constantly, and I mentioned that very early on in the sermon, then Paul is simply urging and encouraging Christians to do what the believers in the Old Testament already knew and did. And that brings me to the second point of the sermon. And that is why we should pray. Now, the book of Psalms teaches another important lesson concerning prayer. In prayer, we call upon God, but that does not mean that all calling will get a hearing. You see, Psalm 145 lays down the ground rule. In verse 18, it says, "The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth." And you see, here we come to the heart of prayer. The power of prayer does not depend on fancy words. It does not depend on the length of the prayer. The power of prayer does not depend upon repeating certain prayers three or four times a day at set times, or on getting many others to pray the same thing. You see, the power of prayer lies in calling upon the Lord in truth. Let me repeat that. The power of prayer lies in calling upon the Lord in truth. The power of prayer depends on the condition of the heart by calling upon God in true faith. And you can find that, for instance, in Psalm 116. That psalm is instructive here. It says, "How can I repay the Lord for all his goodness to me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord." You see, prayer is closely tied to faith in the one true God. And we must know to whom we pray and why. For it has to do with a personal and very special relationship between God and you, his child. And so in very simple terms then, my brothers and sisters, this means that if we pray, we cannot and we may not do so in a superficial fashion. We must know about God, and we must know him to be our God. We pray to God because we know him as the gracious and merciful and holy and righteous God, the one who has always been and who always will be. We pray to the Lord God who spans the ages and in whose hands we are safe. And you see, the Catechism points out that we should pray because this God, who has always been and who will be, gives his grace and Holy Spirit only to those who constantly and with heartfelt longing ask him for these gifts and thank him for them. And that means, therefore, that before we can pray to God in a meaningful way, we first of all need to know God as God. And that means we must know him as he has revealed himself both in the Old Testament as well as in the New. We ought to know him as our Creator and as our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so from the Bible we learn about God's mighty acts, mighty works, about his unsearchable wisdom, about his constant faithfulness, and about his great love and mercy for his people. And it's on the basis of what the Scripture teaches that we confess that prayer is the most important part of our thankfulness. See, prayer is much more than asking. From a biblical perspective, it is first of all giving praise and giving thanks. Now, so let me put it to you, the correct order would be this. We praise God for who and what he is, and then we thank him for what he does and gives. We can also say, We praise him because he is our Father in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we thank him for the salvation which he gives to us in his Son. And when you keep that front and center, my brothers and sisters, in your prayers, then prayer becomes powerful. And the power of prayer is simply a matter of faith based on the right knowledge of God. Because then prayer finds its source in God's promises. And then prayer pleads upon God's faithfulness. And then prayer relies on God's almighty power, for whom nothing is impossible if it is his will to act. And so in prayer, we place ourselves in the Lord's hand. We pray in the confidence of the faith that God hears and acts. And so in the final analysis then, the power of prayer is not some special gift of prayer, but it is the humbleness of heart in which we approach and rely for everything in life on God, who has promised, "Ask, and it shall be given to you." You see, the power of prayer is present in any prayer that God is pleased to hear. And therefore, we do well to contemplate, in the third place, what to pray for. Question and answer 117 asks, what belongs to a prayer that pleases God and is heard by him? And then you see that the Catechism points to three conditions for a prayer that is pleasing to God. The first one is that from the heart we call upon the one true God only. And that points out right away that we must pray from the heart. That means, therefore, that prayer is thoughtful communication with God, not mindless chatter. For in prayer we come into the presence of the one only true God, whom we may address as Father. And therefore we need to be fully aware to whom we pray. We don't pray to an object. We do not pray to some thing. But we pray to the living God who hears and acts. And therefore prayer may never be a mechanical thing. You see, it needs to come from the heart. And it needs to reflect the desires of the heart. And we call that the first part. And connected with that is that the heart must be instructed from the scriptures concerning the will of God. For just imagine, if you don't know who God is, how would you pray to him? If you do not know God's expectations of us, or if you do not abide his promises to us, what will the content of prayer will be like? We will be asking constantly for the wrong things. For then we only ask what we want from God, but we would never ask God what he wants from us. And then we would never pray, "Teach us your ways, O Lord." You see, our prayers might echo what God himself has told us. And then we can pray in the confidence that God will hear. As the Apostle John writes in 1 John 5 verse 14, this is the confidence that we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, and that's the point, ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And so prayer is really something that all of us need to learn. It does not come naturally. For you see, it is a spiritual art that is perfected as we grow in understanding of the scriptures. And therefore, I want to say that maturing in faith and maturing in prayer go hand in hand. For you see, prayer is talking to God based on the thoughts and the hopes and the expectations that he has taught us in his word. The disciples had to be taught how to pray, and so do we. And the Holy Spirit needs to be our teacher, And then our prayers will be pleasing to God. And then the second condition for a God-pleasing prayer, the Catechism says, is that we must thoroughly know our needs and misery so that we may humble ourselves before God. What does that mean, to thoroughly know our needs and misery? Well, to thoroughly know our needs and misery means, requires, that we dig to the bottom of our hearts to discover what our need and misery is. And this tells us, my brothers and sisters, that most of the time the needs we need to pray for are not first and foremost material needs, but spiritual ones. Our greatest need is that we stay close to the Lord. Our need is that we believe and trust God's promises so that we can live as joyful Christians, free from anxiety and fear. Our spiritual need is that we remain motivated and mobilized for the service of God. And our spiritual need is that we acknowledge before God our sinfulness as the cause of all misery. And therefore, the most important words in prayer are not, "Lord, please give me," but, "Lord, please forgive me for the sake of Christ your Son, for we are completely dependent on your mercy." And that brings us then to the third condition of a God-pleasing prayer, namely that we pray in the confidence that God will hear our prayer for the sake of Christ our Lord, as we have been promised in his word. Now, a moment ago, I said that prayer is talking to God with the words that he has taught us in his word. And now I must add that prayer is also taking God's word and take God at his word. And in his word, God promises that although we do not deserve it, he will certainly hear our prayer for the sake of his Son, who said, "No man comes to the Father except through me." And so access to the Father is through the Son. God hears our prayers if we come to him in faith and in the confidence through his Son and by the grace of the Holy Spirit. And now the point is, my brothers and sisters, that because God requires prayer of us, he doesn't say feel like, do it whenever you feel like it. Now, because God requires us to pray, that also gives us the assurance that he will hear our prayers. And that is a great privilege, because in prayer we come into God's holy presence. The Lord gives us a hearing, but then we must also know what to pray for. And Christ gave us that model prayer after which we can formulate our own prayers. He said, if you pray, pray like this. He didn't say pray this, and if we pray nothing else but the Lord's Prayer. He says, no, pray like this. And then the Lord gave us that Lord's Prayer as the model, the perfect model that includes all our basic needs. And no wonder that we can say then that we may ask God for all the things we need, as included in the prayer that Christ himself has taught us. And what did Christ teach? For one, he taught us to ask God to provide for our daily needs. And I'm sure that our prayer includes requests for the things we need. Maybe that is even the main thrust of most of our prayers. But the Lord Jesus Christ also taught us to pray, "Father, your will be done." So not only prayer for things we need, but also praying for that we do God's will, that we live as his people who recognize God as our Father in heaven. And to keep on doing God's will, we regularly need to pray. And so prayer is a necessary part of life that keeps us vigorous in faith, in the faith. In prayer, we may come to him with all our cares and joys. And therefore, it is a tremendous blessing that God allows us to come in his presence. You see, prayer brings us before the throne of grace. And we can expect God's grace only when we pray for it and when we show the Father that we rely upon his grace in Jesus Christ. And so I can basically sum it up this way, my brothers and sisters. God requires a prayer and praise because, first, prayer is from God. He made it possible for us to come to him in Christ Jesus. But in the second place, prayer is through God. The Holy Spirit makes us offer ourselves as living sacrifices of thankfulness to him. And therefore, the third place, prayer is also to God. In prayer, we promote his glory. And for him, through him, and to him are all things, including prayer, through which we not only converse with our mighty God and show him our thankfulness, but through prayer, we also progress in the faith. Amen.